This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
The session I was and Bill is aligning values for creating cultural change through strong leadership. And that's one of those phrases that's really hard to nail down. A very simplistic way of saying, of looking at that, is to say that managers keep things running and leaders make things change, both of which are valued and valuable activities. And I think at a time of significant change, and today we'll make it even clearer some of the direction that things are heading, it's vital to understand the context and what may be different for us to operate in if we're to act as leaders. So this is a window on the task of leadership as I see it, and I'd say some of it's interesting to be making the comments that I do about the coalition agreement with the new MP and the new Parliamentary Undersecretary about to speak next, so I'm sure they'll tell me where I got it wrong. The values. I think the coalition agreement, the coalition statement, if you haven't got a copy and read it, then I suggest that you do. I really think it's a very clear insight into the way that the new coalition is thinking. It's a very specific list of things that they've agreed to do. But I think the process by which it came to be was created out of an understanding of where their philosophy was in common. So if we're looking at aligning values and understanding values, reading the whole thing rather than just the bits that refer to our specific sectors is an interesting activity and I think gives us an insight into the sorts of things that we perhaps might be thinking about. I think the task of leadership at this time is to join these quite discrete pieces of policy together in order to get an outcome from it that delivers the intent that was in the philosophy. So we've got some blobs that make sense discreetly. We need to work out how these fit together and make them work. And just a few pointers in that. If we haven't woken up to the fact that there is going to be significant less money in the system, then somehow we've been living on a different world. But always I think these sorts of fiscal adjustment, which is another way of describing cuts, are rationalised well in advance, but it's only as we start to feel them and the emotional impact of what they might mean starts to become evident that people really get involved in the sort of work that's necessary. So having been at a number of councils over the last few weeks looking at how they're going to deal with their share of the initial £6 billion and saying, well, in year, this is going to be tough for us. It means £3 million, £4 million, £5 million, £6 million, whatever, depending on the size of the council. Still, in many cases, still no understanding that this will mean a fundamentally different way of working when it gets to the much larger sums involved. So one of the things that I see in the coalition agreement is, one, the impact of money, obviously, but two, how the belief in localism is not a belief in local governmentism. It's a belief in decisions being made close down, as near to the user, as near to the resident, as near to the customer, if you want to use that term, as is possible. So in health, we see stuff bypassing the Strategic Health Authority, the Primary Care Trust, and going straight to the level of GP cluster. I don't know if cluster is a good word to describe GPs. Gaggle always seems more appropriate to me. And in education, going down to the level of schools. So in our thinking, we need to be not thinking any longer as leaders about the institutional structures that we're used to, but thinking about an altogether more local way of organising. I think it's also helpful in trying to align values and to understand what the new culture is, to listen to the language that ministers and new secretaries of state are using. Both these statements on here, I have heard both the individuals make on at least four or five occasions, and in each case, prior to as well as post the election. So Francis Maude repeatedly states that public sector productivity has gone down by the number there, 3.4%, I think, at the same time as it's risen by 20% in comparable private sector organisations. Now, people take issue with that. People disagree with that. They're entitled to disagree with it or agree with it. The point is that this is a fundamental piece of thinking, that if we're going to lead in a new environment, productivity will be a concern. It will be where attention is raised, and we need to get very much more out of what every individual, every unit, every organisation does. It will be the mantra that we hear. If I hear localism, 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 but politics being what it is, I reserve the right to change the order another time, I think I'm going to sort of seize up almost. But that's a very, very clear message from the Secretary of State that He doesn't expect to do things centrally. He doesn't expect to tell people how things should be done. He expects to place a bound around the things that need to happen, and he expects people to get on with it. And he expects things to be resolved in that way. The other words that appear in repeated places are transparency and accountability. Transparency in blue, because that's the ones I tend to hear Conservatives saying more. Accountability in yellow, because that's the one I tend to hear Lib Dems saying more. And the underlying philosophy that I read into it is that by making very much more visible how well things work, what is the impact of the things that we do, what it costs to do the things that we do, and creating good local democratic mechanisms for being accountable for those things happening, then there will be a corrective process. This will be the feedback mechanism that drives change in the system. So the idea that a central department will set a target, will create implementation guidance and a grant to do it, and create field forces to go out and ensure that it's done, is not in that thinking at all. And we've become quite used to that as a way of working, and we're going to have to think very much about how we work outside of that if that's going to be the way that things go forward. I think that sounds very easy and very attractive. We all don't want to be badgered. We all don't want to be pestered. We all want our professional judgment to let us just pick things up and get on with it. But the practicality of that is often, when you take away the bars from the cage, people don't know where to go. So there's a big space in there, but also a big uncertainty. Another piece of the language that I hear a lot is tight loose. You can tell when people have been talking to consultants because tight loose appears. It's one of the sort of phrases at the moment. And the coalition would describe themselves as doing this the opposite way round to the last government. You can make your own decision as to how much you agree with that or otherwise. But regardless of that, again, that left-hand column are the things that are being described by ministers, secretaries of state as being held tight. Strategic direction is a central process. This is the way that we want things to be now, and cash is going to be managed very tightly. I don't think you can escape that on emergency budget day. The wider property asset infrastructure, they see huge potential for a much more productive use of that by controlling that much more centrally. There's a phrase, the IT infrastructure is like running all the railways on different gauges. You can't do the things that you want to do. We're not going to tell you, we're not going to set up big NHS computer systems for every part of the public sector, but nonetheless, we're going to try and get some standards and platforms in place that mean that things can more easily connect with each other. There's talk around how we procure not the smaller things, but certainly some of the bigger things. There's no sense in some of the variation, as ministers see it. Major projects, obviously, control centrally, and headcount comes up. It's one of the ways that it's described that commercial organisations manage themselves through times of consolidation. I think BT took 10,000 people out of their global workforce in the last 18 months, something like that. It's a phenomenal number of people for an organisation that size. Again, headcount will be something that will be kept tight. But the flip to that is the delivery, where delivery will be very open. Without that target regime and infrastructure, people will have a lot more space as to how they choose to deliver within the constraints of the tight. So this is a context that leaders will have to manage and will have to understand how they play across the two. The other phrase that keeps coming around is big society. And when David Cameron was using this, particularly initially, it was almost always connected to the phrase the end of big government and the end of big government. So this is not simply let's get some bright young people who as part of their gap year to go and work in schools who might benefit from their help. That's part of it, but it's also about a drastic reduction in the size of the state and the idea that the state dictates or might decide how certain things happen is very much against the philosophy that's being described. But at the same time, there is an understanding that saying we'll suddenly stop all these state things and this feedback process of transparency and accountability will automatically make things work. I think the phrase used the other day was the hidden hand of the market will not spontaneously fill the void. It's recognised that there's time and there is space within which things might or might not work. And so for leaders, I think that's a very, very interesting space. It gives you a lot of time to actually experiment and to start to rapidly prototype the things that you want to do without the sort of constraints that you might feel you've been working under before. With that comes risk. And the expectation is that you will take that risk rather than say, well, tell me what's safe and what's not. So I think that leads us for the task of leadership in the next few years is not about organisation, it's more about organising. So the task is not running large organisations or departments in large organisations or pieces of large organisations. The task is organising the variety of interests, be they social type organisations, be they public, be they private, be they large, be they small, in order to get done the things that you want to get, that you need to happen, or that have been expressed locally as a need for that place. So that's an altogether different means of operating. It's not about managing the process. It's about getting things done through a much looser and more varied network, if you like, of interested parties. So in summary, the place of leadership for me in here now is not about organisation, not about making my organisation work. It's about delivering outcome. And therefore, the thinking process is one of not who I need to manage, not who reports to me, but who I need to influence, who do I need to connect to, what do I need to get to happen. I think the phrase was used last week about the new Chief Constable of the Police Service of Northern Ireland. He's an accountable anarchist, i.e. he will not continue to run that force as it has been run, because he sees it hugely constrained from doing the things that it needs to do to move into the new space that it needs. But if you start asking, particularly Eric Pickles, what should I do, you will probably be called a poodle. And I think that was caught on Neil Stewart's video prompt last week. I think also we're looking at the way funding aggregates, not controlling our own budgets. And I think one of the more interesting things that I see going on as a follow-on from the work we did with Total Place is about place-based budgeting. And so if, whether it's about a number of services or all the services and whatever level of geography, if the funding in a place, the public funding in a place, is accounted for by the outcome required in that place, rather than as currently happens through the organisations that are responsible to agencies, that are responsible to departments that through their secretaries of state are held accountable to Parliament in that way, then I think there will be a rapid period of evolution as to how we get things done. So that's something I think to watch out for through the autumn as the spending review takes shape. Are people looking to continue to manage the funds through the existing departmental silos into the organisations that they spawn? Or is there some sense that at some level, greater or larger, things will begin to join up? Because that will make a very rapid change in terms of how we do things. The last thing that I think is critical for leadership at this point is that it now becomes particularly about politics, not process. Anybody who had any experience of working through the 80s when people were looking at taking money out the public sector will remember that was a highly political time. But I mean big P as well as small p. And I think leaders need to understand how that plays out locally, the difference between local and national politics and how that plays in their particular place, the tensions between and within organisations in terms of how we get to the results that we need to happen and what those results should be, what would constitute value to the public if we are now working in a constrained environment. And I think we need to do this from the focus of the people who depend on us to get this done and the people who pay the bill. So if we can't at the end manage these new dynamics, then I think leaders will end up trying to perpetuate the old system, and I think that will be a very painful and drawn out process. Michael, thank you.